Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Chappell, and I wanted to personally thank you for tuning in to today's edition of Daily in the Word. The purpose of this broadcast is to encourage God's people every day from His precious Word. The message you're about to hear is based on the Bible and will encourage, challenge, and strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. I'm thrilled that you are tuning in to listen, and it's my prayer that you will be encouraged by God's incredible Word. Thanks again for your prayers and for your support. May God richly bless you today.
The promises of the Bible and the person of Jesus Christ are more relevant and powerful than ever before. In our series entitled, Hope is Alive, your heart will be encouraged and your perspective renewed as you learn about the hope Jesus came to offer. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. At times, we all face situations that appear to be hopeless. But when viewed through the lens of God's Word and your relationship with Christ, there is always hope. In today's message, you will be equipped and challenged in your walk with God by studying the truths of God's Word. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Reliable Hope.
Every one of us today must recognize that we need God's perception, we need God's wisdom in the matters of our daily life and work that is to be done. Every once in a while, someone will come up to me and meaning well, and they'll say, "Now, Pastor Chappell, do you realize what a great responsibility it is to be a pastor? Do you realize that many people look up to you, and that if you ever make a wrong decision, it'll have many, many different effects, and you ought to be very, very concerned about this? And do you recognize that this is a very great responsibility, being a pastor?" And I often chuckle at that, but I also recognize what they're saying is true. And did you know the fact of the matter is that there's an overwhelming understanding in my heart that this is way bigger than I am? And did you know that what you're going to do tomorrow is way bigger than you are? And did you know the Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 5, a verse that I pray to the Lord every single morning and that I request from the Lord every single morning. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith and nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the sea driven and tossed to and fro. Did you know that one of the things every one of us need every single day in these changing times is wisdom? And God says, if you'll come to me and you'll seek wisdom for that business deal, if you'll seek wisdom for the teenager's life, if you'll seek wisdom for your work problem, God says, I'll provide my perception to you. James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You see, my gut feeling isn't good enough, and my intuition isn't good enough. And sometimes when we just make decisions based on what we think might be best, we can make a wrong decision. And so we must come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help and I need your guidance in this matter. And God says, when you ask, I'll provide. I thank God this morning that His provision is reliable. He says, I'm going to be with you. And you're not going to see the righteous forsaken or begging bread. And by the way, if you need some counsel or you need wisdom, come to me and I will take care of you. His provision is reliable. Notice secondly this morning, His promises are reliable. Now, one of the things I want to challenge you with this morning as we enter into these times preceding, I believe, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, is that we need to stay in the Word of God and claim the promises of God daily for our lives. Oh, what a great missionary said, Adoniram Judson, has stuck with me over the years. Adoniram Judson said, the future is as bright as the promises of God. And I want to tell you, if all of our information comes from talk radio and television newscasters and all of this, the overwhelming feeling will be fear and uncertainty. By the way, that's how they generate listenership and that's how they sell product. And the fact of the matter is, if we're going to let the news media set our agenda, we'll be here and there and troubled all the time. But if we'll come to the promises of God, there will be stability in our everyday life and emotion. Now, notice if you would some of the promises of God. Notice the names of these promises, and I'll mention three or four this morning. I want you to think with me, first of all, about the promise of God's strength. God says to us that He is going to provide strength for us each and every day. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, I know in some ways this morning's message is a Bible study, and we're reviewing some verses we've learned as children, but I want you to think about this with me, and let's say this verse together, Philippians 4:13, ready, begin. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, let's say it again, and let's emphasize the word can. Ready, begin. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, let's emphasize the word Christ. Ready, begin. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, God says, I'm going to provide for you the strength that you need. And someone says, I don't know if I can go on another day. You know what? You probably can't. And you've read all the Power of Positive Thinking books and all of the different classes in the world on psycho-cybernetics and how to think and be successful, and all the world's philosophy that says, look in that mirror and tell yourself what a great guy you are, and you can do anything you want to do. And you know what? That's a lie. You see, our strength fails, but His strength never fails. Amen. I heard about a lady who said her therapist told her a way to achieve inner peace, and she said, the therapist said, if I'm going to have inner peace, that I must finish everything that I start. And so she thought about that. She said, so far, I have finished 2 bags of chips and a chocolate cake, and I'm feeling better already. Now, we can try our own ideas. We can try the counsel of this world. We can try our own strength. Or we can say to the Lord tomorrow when we step into the elevator, Lord, I'm about to go to work. And Lord, I don't have the strength to carry on. And I ask you right now for your strength. We can crawl out of that bed in the morning, put our knees on the ground and say, Lord, before I talk to anyone else, I want to talk to you because, Lord, I need your strength today. I can't do this in my own strength. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The promise of strength. Notice, secondly, the promise of His greatness over Satan. Sometimes we see Satan's work and we see how he destroys homes and young people's lives. And sometimes we might feel like we're not on the winning side. But the Bible says in 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And God says, I want to remind you that I have promises for you, and I have a promise that my strength is greater than your strength, and I have a promise that my strength is greater than the strength of Satan, and nothing he throws against you will take you down, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Notice the third promise, the promise of His care for us. He says, I want you to know I care for you. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Someone says, Pastor, but I've got a real unexpected circumstance in my life, and I've got a real trial in my life. You know, God knows about that, and God wants you to lay that at His cross this morning, and God wants you to leave that burden to Him this morning. I heard about a little boy that wanted to go to his friend's birthday party, and he was so excited to go to this birthday party, and so finally the day came. The only problem was, the day of the birthday party, a blizzard had moved into their town. And I mean, it was snowing and howling, and the snow was piling up. And the little boy said, Daddy, I'm ready to go to the birthday party. And his dad said, Son, I don't think I'm going to be able to let you go. It's just too cold out there today. He said, Oh, Daddy, please. He said, No, son, it's just so dangerous out there. And the snow, you could get lost just walking to your friend's house. And the little guy started asking, Daddy, please, Daddy, please. How many of you ever had children like that? Any of you ever have children like that? And boy, that guy was on a campaign. Daddy, please, Daddy, please, Daddy, please. And finally, his dad said, All right, son, I'll let you go. The little boy was shocked and overjoyed, and he put his coat on. He started down the street to his friend's house, and boy, he got through the wind and the snow, and finally, he rung the doorbell, and he started through the door into his friend's house, and as he went into the house, he looked over his shoulder. He saw a shadowy figure out there on the sidewalk, and he looked a little closer, and it was his father. And his father had followed him every step of the way. And my friend, your heavenly Father is with you every step of the way. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You can cast all of your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. You see, one poet said it this way: God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all through our life through. God has not promised sun without rain, or joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy and love. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. We see the names of some of his promises, but notice secondly, if you would, the nature of his promises. Now, someone might say, well, that's wonderful. God says he'll provide strength, and God says he'll carry my burdens, but, you know, I've heard promises before. Well, let's look at the nature of God's promises very quickly so that we can understand how God speaks to his people. Notice, if you would, first of all, his promises are infallible. God's promises are infallible. That is, he cannot lie. He would not tell you he would provide wisdom unless he intended to do that. He would not tell you he'll provide your physical supply unless he intended to do that. God cannot lie. The Bible says in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? His word is infallible. May I say, secondly, his word or his promises are immutable. That means they do not change. Someone says, well, you know, God did that for Joseph, but he wouldn't do that for me. Or God did that for John R. Rice, but he wouldn't do that for me. But I want you to know, God never changes. Malachi 3 and verse 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now think of that first part of the verse. For I am the Lord, I change not. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God says, I'm going to be the same for this generation as I was for the last generation. The theologian Bancroft said it this way, God in his nature, attributes, and counsels is unchanging. For these belonging to an infinite being are absolutely perfect and therefore admit of no possible variation. He is immutable. And then the third characteristic of God's promises is that they are eternal. They are forever. Now, a one-year warranty is all right. A five-year warranty is pretty good. 100,000-mile warranty, well, that's great. A lifetime guarantee, who would ever think of it? But God says, I want you to know my promises are eternal. They are everlasting. Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God's promises are reliable. Now think of this morning. The provision of God is reliable for you and for me. And the promises of God, they're unchanging. They are reliable. But then I want you to see finally with me this morning, the payment of God. I want you to see the payment of God and the reliability of his payment for our sins. Now the fact is today that if there's one area of your life and mine where we need to rely upon God, it is in the area of the forgiveness of our sins. You understand, food is necessary and we're thankful for that provision. And you understand the promises of God concerning his provision. Those are wonderful things to know. But the greatest knowledge of all is the knowledge that your sins have been paid for completely by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that payment for sin is reliable in Jesus Christ. Now, let's think about his reliability in paying for the sins of the world as we close this morning. Notice, first of all, the cost of this payment. The cost of the payment. The payment for our sin was a precious price indeed. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The soloist sang it this morning so beautifully. It's all about the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Your sin and mine is not covered, is not paid for by our good works or anything that we could purchase. Now, for example, someone might come this morning at the altar time and they might say to me, Pastor Chapel, I've been very bad this week. I've done some things I never thought I would ever do. And I know these things are wrong. And I really do want to go to heaven someday. I really do want to have eternal life. And I don't know what all someone has to do to go to heaven. But I figured I'd start today by trying to do something. And just logically, human nature tells us that we should have to do something. And so let's say this gentleman says to me, now I know you're building a new children's building. I understand that that building's about $5 million to complete. And so just to help get myself a little closer to heaven, to buy my way in, Pastor Chappell, here's $5 million for that building. Now friend, if that man thought he was giving money to buy his way into heaven, we certainly would not take that money under those pretenses. Now we would do everything we could to lead him to Christ and then encourage him later about that. But we would not allow someone to think that they were buying their way into heaven. Notice what that verse says there in verse 18. You are not redeemed with corruptible things as gold and silver. No one has their sins paid for by payment that is made. That form of teaching is not according to the Bible when we study the gospel of Jesus Christ. The redemption is made by the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. And he has paid that price for those in this world who are fallen, and that would include every single one of us who are fallen through Adam. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So the payment for sin comes by way of the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. And it is a precious price indeed that Jesus paid for our sin. Notice not only is it a precious price, but I want you to see this. It was an exclusive payment. Now, what Jesus Christ did was an exclusive payment. That is to say, there is no other way to enter into heaven save by the shedding of the blood and your faith in the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, let's read about this exclusive claim in 1 John 5:11, please. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. How many of you are with me so far? Say amen. All right, so far so good. God has given to us eternal life. All right, notice this. And this life is in his Son. So eternal life is through his Son, Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, sometimes people say the Bible is hard to understand, but I think this morning that's fairly clear. He that has the Son, Jesus, has life. He that has not the Son has not life, speaking of everlasting life. Now, this is a very exclusive claim. Now, listen very carefully to me this morning. The predominant philosophies in the world today are the philosophies of pluralism, that is to say, pluralism teaches that all religions are good. It doesn't really matter what you believe. They're all good. Let's just have tolerance towards every kind of a religion. And let's just recognize that all religions are about the same. And that view of tolerance or pluralism is on the rise in the world today. Now, as we see in Europe, whenever the socialistic concept comes on the increase and the government is seen more and more as the provider for the people, you'll see that church attendance and belief in God goes down even farther because people begin to trust the government rather than trusting in God. You can go to 3,000-seat auditoriums in Europe and on a given Sunday morning find 20 or 30 people in church because people are looking to the government, and because pluralism has evaded their society and because all religions are about the same and the needs are being met through the government, people are less and less inclined to put their faith in Jesus Christ. Now listen very carefully. The tolerance, pluralism, ecumenicism that is rising stands in stark contrast to the teachings concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ, which are very exclusive. And what you'll find is the pluralists hate the exclusive claims of Jesus Christ. There is an opposition to exclusivism. And the fact is that the Bible teaches Jesus Christ is the exclusive only way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Now, the world is marked by this pluralism. And as it is, we see more and more a framework whereby religions are coming together, calling certain things insignificant, and cooperating, and yet many times at the exclusion of the clear presentation of the gospel message. And my friend, when religion starts saying and gathering and saying that you can just believe in a creator and be monotheistic, and if you just have a general belief in Abraham and such, then you are a part of God's overall plan of salvation, we must stop for just a moment and we must say, no, the Bible is very clear in saying that the cost that was paid, the price that was paid, was not paid by Abraham, it was paid by Jesus Christ. And this exclusive claim shows us that there was a covering with this payment. Notice the covering of his payment. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, please. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." You see, we are all sinners, but we are justified by faith in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Now, please find that in your notes. Romans 3:25, speaking about Jesus Christ, and read the first line with me if you would. Ready? Begin. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Now, the word propitiation means a covering. Watch this very carefully. God hath set forth his son, Jesus Christ, to provide the covering for the sin. All right? Who set this forth? Whose doctrine is this anyways? Where does this exclusive belief come from? Where does this belief that says there is only one way come from? What does it say in verse 25? Whom God hath set forth. Listen carefully. This is not the Baptist church setting this forth. This is not another church setting this forth. It is the Holy Bible. It is God the Father who said, I am setting forth my son to be the covering for the sins of the world and to be the propitiation through faith in his blood. Notice this, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. My friend, if you want a reliable payment for your sin, you don't trust in pluralism, you don't trust in Abraham, you don't trust in Mary. If you want to know that your sins are covered, come to the cross of Jesus Christ and put your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, that message will be less popular in the coming years. But may you determine in your heart to follow passionately Jesus Christ and to thank God daily that he and he alone has saved you from your sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Abraham. Is that what it says? The gift of God is eternal life through whatever road. Is that what it says? No. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Someone says, well, that preaching is very narrow, Pastor Chapel. About as narrow as that book right there. I checked the sign out front when I came in. It still said Baptist. We're going to stick with this book right here. Oh, times are changing, but God's word is still reliable. How I thank God for his reliability today. His provision, my friend, is reliable for all of us in our time of need. His promises are reliable if we'll read them and hold to them. And thank God his payment is reliable to cover the sins of the entire world. And if you have never trusted in the reliable Savior to cover your sin by his shed blood, you can do that today. And like these men, 50 years later or more, you can say, I'm glad I had a spiritual birthday where I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to tell you, if you trust Christ as Savior, he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. On this planet or in heaven beyond, he will be with you for eternity. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the wonderful grace of Jesus. And we thank you for the reliability of our faithful God. And Lord, I know these are changing times and sometimes we have concerns, but help us to come back to the promises in the book. Help us to thank you daily that you provide for us.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Now, if you've missed any part of this program, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to dailyintheword.org, where you can listen online anytime. You can also download the Daily in the Word podcast to your device and listen on the go. Pastor Chapel, along with the Lancaster Baptist Church Choir, Orchestra, and Media Team will present Glorious Day, A captivating narrative about the life and death of Jesus on Saturday, April 7th at 6 p.m. and Sunday morning, April 8th at 8:30 or 11 o'clock. We invite you to be our guest and experience Easter like never before. You can find out more about this event when you visit lancasterbaptist.org. On Easter Sunday, April the 8th, we invite you to celebrate the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus at Lancaster Baptist Church. Pastor Chapel will share a message of hope and encouragement you won't want to miss. Join us for Easter at Lancaster Baptist and experience the victory, hope, and new life you can have in Jesus. You are also invited to our Good Friday service on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church on Friday evening, April 6th at 7 o'clock. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.